shit show. It's a fucking shit show.
Welcome back to Shit Show. Saturday, Shit Show Saturday, folks. How's it going? So you're going to get to hear a portion of our meeting from Thursday night, which was on fire and fuego. So if this doesn't convince you to damn the Join Shit Show, I don't know what to tell you. What you're about to listen to is a very beautiful example of this community. This is the rawest and the realest place on planet Earth. This is a community with people who are doing the fucking work. And it's just really amazing just to see, you know, not only the growth and healing, but also the connections that are being built amongst one another. And we have a lot of fun too. Like, we're crying, we're talking about painful shit, but then we're also laughing. So if you're looking for your peeps, they're right here on the damn shit show boat. I mean, obviously, I want your money. I mean, a girl's gotta eat, right? But also too, you need a community to go through this healing process with. And you're selling yourself short if you don't. Also, it's a fucking dollar a day. It's a dollar a day. Is your recovery worth $1 a day? I would say yes. So yes, you. I just want you to ask yourself, like, what's holding you back? Okay? Like, why have you not pulled the trigger yet? How long has it been that you've been wanting to join or know that you need to join? And how much growth have you experienced during that time period? Because I'm telling you, being a part of this community is fertilizer to your healing. And you know what? If anyone wants to join today when this episode comes out, or tomorrow, Saturday, May 4th, I will send you a personalized shit show mug. I've never done this before. I will have a mug made with your damn name on it. Okay, so let's see if that works. I don't really think that that's gonna work, but if I was hesitant to join a community, I don't know if a mug would really be the thing that pushes me over the line, folks. You know the rest. Give me a little follow on Insta, on TikTok. Share this episode with other people. Go subscribe to my newsletter. Sunday, I'm gonna send out a little guided meditation for you to connect with your inner family. So see a link in the bio for that too, for Shit Show Nation. And then give me a 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Thank you so much. Love
they
you all.
They say that I should damn the Join Shit Show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard like I have never felt before. So I'm going to damn the Join right now.
Gifts and talents. Each of us comes to ACA with many talents. As we grow in our recovery, we discover even more talents within us. Many of us come to ACA not knowing what our unique gifts are. We may have always measured ourselves against others and decided we came up short. But then someone we trust in our meeting pays us a compliment that we believe. With the support of such people, we learn to see, develop, and express our special talents, large or small. Maybe our gift is the ability to provide encouragement, even a small amount, to another person that helps them stay on their path. It may not take much effort on our part, yet it can be huge to the other person. Sometimes we may never learn the positive impact we may have had. Or maybe we have other gifts, such as the words to write a book that inspires millions. Whatever the case, we remember that each talent we possess is tremendously valuable, no matter whether it helps only ourselves or others. Freeing ourselves from our cloudy thinking is what makes room for our ability to see, develop, and express our talents. That's part of the beauty of ACA. As we feel understood and appreciated, it frees us to express our gifts, becoming whole, well-rounded, recovering adult children. On this day, I recognize that I have unique talents. I am now willing to develop and express them as I learn how valuable I am to myself and others.
Makes me a bit emotional.
Hey, Kiki.
I really believe that this is true for all of us. I really do.
And especially if you landed here. There's something special about you. Because there's something special about me. And like, it's okay for us to say that, right?
It's like the balancing act. There's a part of me that, you know, sees all of my gifts and talents and how special I am. And then there's another part of me that still beats the shit out of myself. And it is something that I was talking to my therapist today about, that one thing, and I don't even really like to say this out loud. For the last year, I have been unable to listen to any meditation, a guided meditation that is like envisioning your future. Like I used to be able to listen to it. For the past year, I haven't been able to. It scares the shit out of me. I think it's like the fear of it not happening. And the one thing that I've said all along this journey, and even like years before I started this podcast, and I think I've shared this before too, it's not that I don't think that I'm not capable of achieving all of my dreams and my goals. My fear is that like I will let the damage of my childhood, my limiting beliefs, self-sabotaging behaviors prevent me from getting there. Like that's like my biggest fear. But what I want to say is that like I've had some tremendous shifts occurring within me in the last month. And I feel a sense of safety in my own skin that I haven't felt maybe ever. There's pain there too. But there's this like kind of beautiful space for both in a way that I don't know if I've experienced before. But I think that like the most fucked up thing about all of this is like just the lies, the lies that were brainwashed into us that keep us from living the lives that we deserve to live. And I truly believe that, I mean, I don't like wish any like harm on anyone, but like what we've experienced can be our greatest asset. It really can be. What we make of it can truly be our greatest asset. And I think it gives us strength and a leg up in a way that others who haven't experienced this can't. It allows us to experience life in a deeper way. It allows us to experience connection with other people in a different way. This recovery work is such a fucking blessing. It really is. The ability to do this deep work, to really uncover our true selves. I don't want to play small. And I just hope, I think that's what we all want, right? Like, let's stop playing small and let's, I don't know. If I could start a fucking podcast in my closet and now we're here, we can do everything. I finally got my office completely done. And I want to make a video because like there's that Drake song that's like, started from the bottom, now we're here. And I want to make a started from the closet, now I'm here. So I started from the closet, now I'm here. And I'm just feeling so grateful for you all. And you guys add so much joy to my life, truly. So thanks for being my internet friends. Floor's open.
Hey, it's Chris. You know, I read that reading, I guess, the day it came out. And I mean, maybe I mentioned on this venue, like what pisses me. Oh yeah, I did, because you guys were like, be nice to yourself. It's like not, yeah. All right. So sorry if I'm repeating myself, but
you really took that in, huh?
Now it's like when I can't see my own good qualities and the only people outside of me see it, and they will pay me something, call it a compliment, I know it's true and does not compute. You know, it's that lens that I can, and I can view myself. And this is where I got mean to myself, but it pisses me off. Why can't I have balance in the way I view myself and understand the good parts and the bad, you know, like, and take it myself as a whole? And maybe I'm just depressed or in a state of mind, but some eras of life, it's really hard to give the proper credence and weight to the positives, I guess, when you're just in a shitty way, you know? But really what I wanted to chime in is, I'd like to just throw out a topic of like change. I have some of these big changes coming up, and my therapist is talking about living in a lot of fear. And he's like, dude, like, let God. There's an exercise of you fear, like you're not letting go and you're trying to control and that whole thing. But I've got some big changes coming up all of a sudden, and I'm scared. And I know that I don't like change in my life. I've lived in the same house for 21 years. I grew up in the same house for 18 years. I've done one career for 35 years. So I don't know. Change is fucking scary to me. And I talk about living small, Andrea. you know, fear of change that has not allowed me to live as large as I could. So I'm babbling. Just wanted to babble with you guys.
So I, too, have a lot of change happening in my life for anyone who doesn't know already. So, and it is really, really scary. 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I don't even know. Everything's a blur. I asked my husband to leave after 22 years. And really, a lot of it also has to do with that, like, you know, true self and all the work that we do here. And I know when I first kind of started on this healing journey and really kind of figuring out why I'm so fucked up, I knew I was going to need help. I knew it was going to be a lot of work. I knew it was going to be hard. And I remember laying on my bed and hiding under my blanket and thinking, like, I don't want to break everything. Like, I'm going to break everything. And I didn't even really know what that meant, but it just felt so terrifying. And now I'm in the middle of the most terrifying thing. And I will tell you that it's not as scary right now in this moment. Talk to me in 15 minutes, but it's not as scary as I built it up to be. Like, it's not as scary as the scary I was avoiding. And for like the true self part of it, as I've been unraveling all of these things and discovering and finding new ways to walk through the world and advocate for myself and communicate better and be a kinder person. At first, when I was changing my relationship with my parents or cutting out friends, my husband was super supportive. Like, yeah, you don't need those people in your life, blah, 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 blah. But he wasn't doing any of the internal work he needed to do. Like, he has had a lot of loss and it's been a really shitty 2 years. And he just won't go to therapy. He doesn't believe in it. Doesn't think he has trauma. And we had a conversation where he said, I don't have trauma. And then told me 2 back-to-back horror stories from his childhood. And I was like, I can't have people in my life like that anymore. Like, now that I'm in therapy and my few friends that are really healthy people that do like pay me a compliment. And if I am like, oh, no, that's, I suck. They're like, no, you actually say thank you. And then having all of you and having these conversations several times a week. And then to turn around and have the person who I've committed my life to can't even look at himself at all. I just realize like it's going to drag me down and it's going to keep me small. And I think we keep ourselves small because that's how we stayed safe. And so like trying to go any bigger, it's not just scary because we doubt ourselves. I think it's scary because it feels like we're going to die. Like, we're going to break everything and we're going to die. So yeah, I'm an emotional roller coaster. I still know it's the right thing. I still have like little fantasies that like, oh, maybe someday he'll get his shit together, but I can't keep trying to help him anymore. I had a point that I was going to say at the end, but I forgot what it was. So I'm going to stop talking, but I'm just so thankful for all of you because I just realized there's such a contrast between the people that are willing to like love themselves and look at themselves and do this shitty work and the people that are fucking missing out, man. I mean, I know this is hard, but I wish he would do it. Anyway, love you guys. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the new people who are here. And Katie, you're really courageous. And I think one of the things I'm learning for myself that has really created compassion and change in myself is the ability to believe myself and to trust myself. And when my body and every part of me is telling me something, I listen now. And for someone who's always been so used to going to other people for opinions and suggestions and outside validation and knowing that I'm okay making the choices that I'm making, this has been life-changing and not always easy, but I know in the core that I don't have to abandon myself anymore. And I'm learning this here. I met with my therapist today. I finally found a therapist that works for me. She accepts my insurance. You know, she's in ACA. She is familiar with IFS. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. And I had a session with her today and we were talking. I had brought up the fact that I'm having such difficulty. My procrastination shows its face when it comes time for me to do anything that has to do with getting in touch with my inner child. Like I won't do the left-handed, I won't do the non-dominant handwriting. I won't go to the store and buy a coloring book. I won't go to the park and get on a swing. I'll do all the other things. I don't procrastinate like the work, you know, doing things that need to get done. But when it comes to that, I am so resistant. And I had mentioned the fact that when I had that one IFS session with Terry, which was very emotional for me, I saw the little girl, I saw my inner child, and she just did not want me there. She did not want to hear from me. She wanted to be left alone. And when I was sharing with my therapist this afternoon, she reminded me, you know, because I'm in such a hurry, I just want to get better. And I know that the key to getting better, well, no, I don't know the key to getting better. I know that there's a lot involved in getting better. But she reminded me that I have to accept the fact that my inner child is not ready yet to show herself. And I have to love her through that regardless. And I have to have patience. And I can't expect from her. And I can't demand from her. And I can't tell her what to do. And I think logically, I sort of knew this, but hearing it from someone else and hearing it put the way she put it to me was just, it just hit me differently. So I feel this sense of relief. I did get emotional. I cried during my session. I haven't been crying a lot lately, and it felt really good just to shed some tears. And yeah, you know, I'm just super grateful to be here and for this community and for everything I'm learning here and just for listening to all of you, because you all inspire me. You really do. So thank you.
Hi. Yeah, I kind of forgot what I was going to say, so I'm going to wing it. I was really inspired by Katie's share, a couple things, and also yours as well. I will say I spent a few years as a professional artist, and those were objectively the scariest years of my life. When you're taking a non-traditional path, it's like objective, it's like 10 levels of fear above just normal job future bullshit. So there's, I think some of that stuff just comes with the territory of what you might be dealing with and doing in this venture, this new pathway here. But you're forging that path and I'm super proud of you. And yeah, I guess one of my talents that I kind of honed in spite of my family, because my family is very much keeps themselves small and wants to be in denial. And so I guess one of the gifts out of resentment, I've always been very open and very vulnerable. And that's attracted some not so great people because I've been, you know, verbal diarrhea with all of my thoughts and feelings. So definitely learned how to reel it in. But with this program here, what I've learned is to do that in a really healthy manner. And I know that like my gift of really sharing sincerely who I am has only gotten stronger, and it's led to some really amazing like relationships and friendships. And it's also, I've been really validated recently with my own family, which is just incredible. I think that was my biggest fear in taking this leap here, was not necessarily losing the relationship with my mom, but losing the relationship with the rest of my family, with my siblings and my sisters-in-law in particular, because they were like, they had emotions and feelings, and that was like so interesting to me. And so, but I did over the last few years get comfortable just kind of being the outsider. And then my mom started being my mom toward my niece. And now the whole family has been shook up. And it's like 5 years of waiting, and I've finally gotten like the validation that I've needed from my sister-in-law. And I'm watching very carefully to see what my brother's doing, because now it's his daughter who's getting hurt by my mom. And my wife is very emotionally mature and is able to explain everything to my brother. And my brother's like, everything you're saying is right. And like, I'm so interested in this, because it's like, what's he going to do? We have a choice here. Is he going to flip right back to denial, which is like the super easy way to go? Or is he going to join me on this shit show? Like, who knows? So I'm really excited. I'm really curious. And I also like got a full apology from my sister-in-law on like how much she didn't understand, because it's, my mom is very tactful in her, it's her lack, her purposeful lack of attention. And you can't really describe that in an easy way. And so, like, I just feel like my gift of just kind of being authentically myself, even when I didn't know who that was or what that was, like just being messy along the way. But as I grow, I can see the people are coming to me. I've waited, I'm playing the long game, and they're coming to me and being like, oh, you were right about this. And it's like, holy shit. And it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. I'm just so glad that my sister-in-law and my brother have me to contact, because if not, I don't know what they would have done with my niece. I really think they could have very easily told her, it's your grandma, I don't know, let's just get over it, like, da-da-da. But because they had me in the back of their mind and they knew, they were like, I'm going to do something different. And then, and I get to be that. And I went to school to be a therapist. I'm going to school now to be a lawyer, to be an advocate. I want to advocate. And like, now I get to advocate for my own fucking niece. Like, that's quintessential. I don't know. That's top tier for me. So I'm just really, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm like, not cautiously optimistic. I'm way too, I'm, all my eggs are in this basket. So hopefully I don't burn, crash and burn, but I'm just really happy for like this breadcrumb I'm getting right now. So I'll reel it in my expectations. But for now, I just want to be excited about it. So thank you guys so much for letting me share. Appreciate it.
The truth of the matter, my dear shit shows, is that there is a huge overlap in those of us who grew up in a dysfunctional family and those of us who are suffering from ADHD. I myself got diagnosed with ADHD about a year ago, and getting this diagnosis and treating this diagnosis has made such a difference in my productivity and getting shit done. Now, let me tell you about Done. Done is an online ADHD care platform where you can get all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, one-click refills, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Visit get.donefirst.com/podcast to learn more. Again, that is get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn ADHD into your strength.
Man, the reading, Chris, Katie, like y'all are speaking my existence at the current moment. As I'm digging into the inner family systems, and I've identified one of my like stages of inner child, you know, as I'm going kind of through the things that you were describing, Katie, you know, I'm on the opposite end. My partner of 13 tumultuous, fucking dysfunctional, horribly like unhealed toxic shit that's been going on, like, and I'm feeling like halfway delusional, but I know I need therapy. I know I need a community, because I've been listening to the podcast for, you know, a couple years. I've been diving into the clinicians that are on the pod, looking at like the information. So fucking happy that like the doctor you interviewed in this last episode is in my town. So if I can figure out a way, if my insurance covers it, I am extremely excited to see if I can jump into a few of those modalities, because my inner teenager made his fucking appearance today. Extremely angry, extremely protective. Part of the thing that I'm going through with my partner is, it is about control. It is about fear of change. I don't like change. I too have been at my job for 20 years, bought our house, and I don't want to let go of the house. And like, I waffle through a bunch of different emotions, because I feel like I see my children, and a bigger portion of it is trust. One of my core wounds is a trust wound and an abandonment wound. And seeing and knowing the history that my ex-partners had, you know, it's been troubles with alcoholism. It's been troubles with addiction and substance abuse, unhealed trauma. You know, she and I would argue, and if she didn't like the way it was and the argument and I hit the right button, she would become violent and want to punch me in my mouth, and just the craziness that would ensue. And then a few months later, let's get back together. Let's keep trying it again. This horrible thing. And so thank you for your shares, because I, until you spoke those words, Katie,
those are some of the same verbatim words that came out of her mouth. I need to heal. I need to fix my shit. This isn't working. It's crazy. I'm very hard-headed. I know that I shut down and I freeze. Sometimes I fawn, but I'm like dig my heels in and I will not budge. And that's like my inner guys going, you're hurt. It's this wound that's being exposed. And it feels like she's sticking her fucking finger right in the middle of it, you know, every time that she starts speaking her words. And today was one of those moments where we're looking at changing some of the court order stuff. I've been the custodial parent, you know, for the last couple of years, and she has not relapsed. And I live in this fear, and this comes from my childhood because of the instability that was there until my mom got sober in 1990. And for some reason, it has been triggered and it is fucking open. And like all the shit from my childhood is like pouring out. The shit that I experienced, and I know my kids aren't going through it, but it's that fear that like, what if she fucks up? What if she gets back on meth and my kids are there and I'm not at the house? Those fears and those what ifs, and that's what's been impossible to let go. And that's probably a bigger portion of why we haven't been able to heal and we haven't been able to move forward together. And as these new realities are coming forth, you know, that's like the childhood wounds that are coming back. The good thing is I did at least start with a therapist. So as I work through, tomorrow is my initial first session after my intake. So, you know, some of these things I'm hoping she's familiar with, interested in looking into some CBT or DBT types of therapies. But the resources that you put out here, Andrea, and the shares on the reaching out, the shit show dudes, you know, it's a great fucking support system. The divorce and separation group, y'all are fucking awesome. I am a total stranger. I am still relatively new. And every one of y'all gives me the love that I know I deserve and I am worthy of. And one of my friends today is explicitly explained that she is a shit show with us, but she refuses to join. But she's like, dude, you are not any of those things. You are a fucking awesome guy. You're helpful. She's like, you know, anybody that knows you, who knew you, knows that you are not that person that you're feeling shitty, worthless Mitchell. So the tools are there. She recognizes the words and some of the things that I'm doing as I go through my progression and I'm venting out and I'm mourning the end of my relationship. And you guys are fucking awesome for being here for me and allowing me to be raw and vulnerable where I couldn't be before because I was afraid that that shit's going to be used against me as it had been before. And those are some of the things too, like chicken check-in, that Alex Coy episode is one of my favorites that I hold onto. It's not my chicken. So thank you, Andrea, for, like I said, having the people out there that we can utilize and research and go through. You are, you know, opening the doors for us to get better and to heal.
Happy Thursday. You guys got me thinking about something when you were talking about the fear of change. And I realized, well, I've known this forever. I'm a runner. Always have been. Until I started this program and started working on myself and doing therapy and being more authentic and listening. Now I've moved. Oh my goodness. Like when I was a little kid, my parents had the same house for 50 years. We never moved. But me, whew. I can cut and run from a job, a person, a house, a dog. And I have two of them sitting on my lap right now. But the reality right now for me is I am very content in my life and with these small changes, like working towards a better change than just saying, fuck that, I don't want to deal with it anymore, I'm out. I turn and like Leslie, somebody was saying in the chat, this program has taught me to turn and face my fears. So I guess that's it for me, but don't be so afraid to change. Nothing changes if nothing changes, right? So maybe like the little like the little good changes. And I know the big changes are hard. And like every time someone talks to me about leaving my home, I get very anxious now because I don't want to. And that's a good change for me. Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, see if my dog lets me talk because he's hyper today. I am doing the opposite of what you just said, Alex. It was Alex, right? I've been on medical leave, but I'm now coming near the end. And I think I'm going to go in on Monday and hand in my notice to my boss that essentially when my medical leave is up, like if she wants me to help train someone, I'll do that. But other than that, I'm done. And even though it was a 40-hour week job, it was more than 40 hours without overtime pay. You know, it's one of those kind of jobs where they say you don't get overtime, but you're working more than. So my boss is super toxic. Just a fun little note for everyone. Last week, I found out that since I've been gone, not only have they cut staff hours and reduced the hours that the office is open, we're also it's a newspaper. The newspaper is being sued. And last week, I got an email saying that our health insurance benefits will no longer be available starting in May. No explanation of anything, just these like random emails from my boss. And I'm just like, I already had decided that I can't go back. It's not going to be a good environment for me. It hasn't been a good environment for me. But now I'm like, that ship is sinking. And like, there is no point in even going back for a little while, you know, because that was one thing I was thinking about doing. So I'm looking at doing mostly freelance, which I have been getting a lot of interest in, and I'm getting all these assignments coming in, and that terrifies me because it fluctuates so much that, you know, I like need to have a regular paycheck coming in. So I'm really scared, but I've been wanting to actually like do this for a long time. And I did apply for a little like part-time extra hire job at my local library. And I got an email today that I have an interview. So, and I live in a tiny town and there's just one librarian, and when she's not there, they're just closed. So they need someone to cover her, but they also need someone to drive around the bookmobile, which is like, it's a library on wheels. And I'm like, this is a like not something I thought I would be doing. It could be really fun. I like books. I like driving. I would go to different events and different. So I don't know if I'll get it. I think I will because I know the librarian. I've done several stories on her, so she should throw me a bone. And actually, I heard from my friend, the librarian, that when her boss, the main librarian for the county, heard that it was me who was interested, she said, oh, she's smart. And I was like, yay. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever said that about me. Like, I don't feel smart. So that was kind of fun. Yeah, bookmobile. Well, if it happens, I'll send you guys, I'll let you know. But so I'm in this weird place where I feel like I should be going up in my career, like working for a larger publication, but instead I'm kind of going, I'm just going to take it one thing at a time and lean into what I like doing. And hopefully the work will show up. And if not, then I can always get another job, full-time job. And we'll see. It's very scary. You know, it's terrifying to make any changes. Even when I get a new job, like a full-time job, I always have that like panic where I doubt going through the interview process is really scary. Even though like I was recommended by the librarian, that I know that they like me. They know who I am. They know what I'm capable of. I'll pass the background check, but it still is like, oh shit, an interview. Oh my God. So anyways, that's really, I guess all there was some other things that I don't remember anymore, but yeah, glad to be here, guys. And this was like the message I needed today, because I'm really struggling with back and forth between like believing in myself that I have talents and I have skills and that people like do want the work that I do and that I can find work, and then being like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I'm going to fail, utterly fail, you know? So wish me luck.
What I'm thinking about and focusing, I think, is a bit kind of off topic. So yeah, okay.
Does that matter? We share about whatever.
Okay. One, the reading, the one about, and I don't remember the words, but the reading, not the reading, but the affirmation that you read about the way we see the world and change. Okay, so every time I come here, it's like I get what I need. It's always perfect. It has never been bad. Thinking about change, when Andrew was guest hosting, the first time I was livid. What? And then that crazy thinking, oh, she's going to come back and she's going to tell us that she's going to open, you know, another kind of podcast, you know, focused on condiments or something. And so I had to rein that in. And I love Andrew, and he's wonderful, and he's sensitive, and he's changed my worldview. Because I have really huge issues with men. And he's like, I look at him and I say, wow, man, Andrew's a man and he's a human being. It's just like so. But anyway, but that's not what I want to focus on. This framing, I read the Four Agreements and they talk about being able to paint your own canvas and shape your own frame. Okay, I agree with that. It's where I am now is similar to when I was trying to contact and get in touch with my higher self, which I've done, thankfully, through this wonderful group. So what is my reality, the shape, the reason I believe that I am here? And so I can own it today, which is It works for me and my movement forward now when I think of being in this life as a school. I am at first and foremost a spiritual being, and I'm having a physical experience, and I'm here to learn. And in the broad sense, what I'm learning is self-love. And when I have self-love, I have love. And I have abundance to give to others. And I can work with that metaphor. And then it made me think of something that I'll share with you. My daughter, she's 42 now. In the last 9 years, I've only seen her physically one time. We're absolutely estranged. When she was a little girl, and I am a child of the 60s. I was deep into New Age. That makes sense to me. So with her, you know, I did automatic writing and she wanted to do, she does automatic writing. And we both did past life regressions. But the thing that came to mind was when she was a little girl, let's say 6, 5, 6, 7, one of the things that I would tell her regularly is that I would thank her that I was so grateful that when we were in spirit form, she chose me as her mother, as a physical vehicle to be together. And I would tell her that when we were in the spirit world, in the spirit community, God stepped up in front of us and said, I have a particularly different growth challenge. Is there anyone who would like to take it? And so I looked around and I saw her spirit. We were not friends. We were acquaintances in the same classroom. And we looked at each other and immediately we knew we had to do this together. So she's on her path and I have to honor her path, that it's right for her, that I bottomed out and tried to destroy myself, literally killing myself slowly with alcohol. I learned when I saw her that one time, she's the meth addict. I can say it now. I've never said that out loud. She's a meth addict. She has her path. I have to believe that just as I believe about myself, that I'm here to learn and grow. and the things that I need will come to me as this community, which I would have, I don't even know how I even got here. So that's kind of rambling, but the point I'm making is I've decided on and claimed my framework for moving through this life and what I want to give and what I wanted to get out of it. And through this community, I can now accept without shame and embarrassment and fear my gift. And my gift, since I was a little girl, was anyone I encountered, any situation I encountered, I always wanted to make it better. I wanted people to be happy. I wanted people to see the best in themselves. And I was born into a world where that meant you were always in danger, or that you were regarded as a fool, as an easy mark. That's the world I came into with that gift. And I'm at a place now where I'm finally able to own that gift. And I have been sharing that gift with others in a natural, organic way, is that I see you and I see the spirit. I see that person that without all the trappings of being American, being a woman, being a male, being poor, being rich, being all that goes away, and I can see into you. And you all as a community, I'm in isolation, terrified. But I look at each one of you every time I come here, I look at each one of you, and I see that beauty. I see the spirit. We all have different paths and bodies, and but I see it in your eyes. And that's, I think that common spirit that we have here makes this community unique and perfect for me. And I think the fact that we can talk about change and huge steps in our lives is we're doing that work of doing, of we want to love. We want to be kind. We want the world to be a better place. And here we're honing our skills and building our strengths. And I know each one of you, when you go out in the world, your families, your work, you can see glimmers of that change, of where you are building the strength to show that side of yourself. And I didn't get your name, but who's talking about taking the library job and the bookmobile? Holy cow, I relied on bookmobiles. Bookmobiles are a godsend for a lot of people. The thing that struck me is that, was it Laura? Was it Laura? Who?
It was Marie.
What?
Marie. Okay. Marie.
Okay. You notice I look like this is because I don't have my glasses on. It's just like, I saw it in your eyes and I felt it in your energy. You like that. That makes you happy. That makes you feel fulfilled in this moment. And what we face is it's contrary to everything we've been told or the way we've been treated. Man, we are, wait for it. We are some fucking strong, brave, good, kind, loving people. We are in our nature. I love being here. Oh, my life. I'm alive.
So there.
Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Don't let it all go.